Hello?
Good morning.
Well, how you getting along?
All right, how you feeling?
You having any rest?
No, not a bit yet.
What are you doing?
Oh, just, been filling a lot of engagements I'd made earlier before I came home. Dedicating this and that. How you feeling?
Pretty good. I'm going in the hospital, I guess, the early part of the week. And
you going to have these operations at the same time, both of them?
I guess one will be an hour or so long. The other will be 15, 20 minutes, and they'll do it
while I'm... This hernia developed from the previous operation.
Yeah, they just had a little drain inside and never did heal.
What is this about your throat? Is it just
It's got a little thing about the size of your thumb on the vocal cord growth.
On that big?
And they won't get rid of it. Most of the time they're non-malignant, and sometimes they are.
I imagine this bothered you talking at it.
Yes.
How was your trip?
Couldn't have been better. Just couldn't have been better.
Looks like you got a good reception everywhere.
Yes, it was just, it was wonderful. And if we could ever get them to where they had any modern means of production, and with all that vast manpower there, well, it would be a hell of a market for us. It's two out of every three people in the world live out there, and they die at 40, and they got a per capita income less than $100 a year, $10 a month, and they got no population control, and they know nothing about sanitation. Like that. But they're making great progress, and in some places it's very, very encouraging. I think Australia is where Texas was 100 years ago, and it's just really moving by leaps and bounds. Got a lot of good land, a lot of sheep, raise good cattle, raise good sheep, and New Zealand's very small, but it's doing fine. Korea's got the damnedest ever saw. Got a growth this year 8%.
8%.
Yeah. And they operate efficiently, and they function, and they're hard workers. They're the damnedest fighters you ever saw. If I told you what I saw, you just wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it of me. You just turn around, wouldn't believe it of your mother. I saw a fella take a piece of granite the size of a brick and hit it with the top of his head and break it right out. And I saw him take his fingers and just run a perpendicular into a 1x12 piece of wood and just tear the wood up. I saw him take his fist and run it through 3 or 4 inches of tile, just break it all to pieces. They trained in these anti-guerrilla tactics. I saw him step up and kick a man from behind, just like a horse, kick him right in the nose. Little old fellow about 4.5 feet tall, and he kick a man 6 feet right in the nose. Just like one of these damn divers on a... But then... And they are real go-getters. Yeah. I have great hopes for the future. We didn't extend ourselves. We didn't spend anything. We didn't commit anything. We got them working for themselves. I got Gene Black out there, and he was going country to country right after me. And we've got 31 nations in this development bank, Asia, and they are all participating. We got a small chunk of it, about 20%, but we're trying to encourage them to join in the resistance of communism, and we had a pretty unanimous agreement, and their people are pretty well behind them, so I think we'll get a good deal more help from them.
I've enjoyed the trip.
Well, she's awful worn out. She's awful tired. I don't know what we're going to do about taxes. Our revenue is going to run, you can't tell, the economy's slackening some, but I'd guess 116, 17. But as we've thought, our civilian expenditures, exclusive Vietnam, would be all right, but Vietnam's going to be... 8 to 12 billion extra this year.
I think that much is required in the supplemental.
Yeah, we don't have any real definite projection. Westmoreland's trying to take his troops and bring them up to date now, but it'll be 8 to 12 billion expenditures. And if it keeps on, we don't know what we're going to have. We had a bad day yesterday, lost 5 planes and 3 or 4 helicopters.
What do they tell you the deficit might be?
Well, if we don't know, but if it were, we'll say, let's assume it was 10, and we had 112 projected, roughly 113, and I'll have about 4.5 additional, which is primarily not selling government securities, 4.2, higher interest costs, about $500 million. That, one way or the other, other departments, and some overruns of Congress, about $2.5 to $3 billion. So if I can get my $3 billion down in programs, it won't be expenditures, but cut the program and postpone, carry over to next year, defer one way or the other, I could probably offset the what the Congress did and what the interest cost. I'd probably have 4.5 on to the 13, would be 117.5. That might be a standoff, and the deficit would be your supplemental.
Well, if the additional is 8, you'd have about a $4 billion deficit then.
No. No. I would say we take in enough money to about take care of everything except the supplemental.
I see.
You see, we've got 113 budget.
Yeah.
We take in 117. But I've got to find 4.5 for securities that I had planned.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
When I withheld them, and then I've got the overruns on interest costs and stuff. Then I've got the Congress overrun on top of that. But if I can cut the Congress overrun out, as I set up and do, that's an offset. So I'll cut as much out or withhold or defer as they overran me, which is 2.5 to 3. Then I'll just have, if my revenue holds up, enough revenue to balance me out. Then supplemental is on top of it. And supplemental is 10. Why? We'll have a $10 billion deficit, or we'll have a $10 billion tax bill.
That's pretty big, isn't it? Too much deficit.
Yes, it is. All the boys are sobering up though a little bit on the way the economy is coming. They're a lot to. Unless, let me see if I haven't got a memo that I looked at yesterday. How's your wife?
Oh, just fine.
What's she doing? Talking to her?
Came over here with me this morning to do something, I don't know what.
Where are you?
I'm in Searcy, in the office, in the post office.
You have an office in Searcy?
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you live in Little Rock?
No, I live 4 miles from here. I live in a big town, about 900. Almost big as Johnson City.
Here's a little note here. Why don't you come down Johnson City?
Well, you get the feeling better in a will sometimes. You ask me.
Well, if you and your wife will go back home and put on a khaki shirt, I'll send up there and get you, and you come down and spend all night with me and go back in the morning.
I wouldn't be able to do it this weekend.
Well, when I get back after Thanksgiving, maybe we could.
That's what I'm talking about.
On Saturday, we reported to you the state of the economy, emphasizing it's now moving ahead at a satisfactory pace. The price record is looking a lot better. Our report for public release accentuated the positive, but it accurately describes a very encouraging picture. Nevertheless, the developments raise new problems and issues about economic policy. It's not easy to get a precise reading on economic activity now. There are weaker signs along with stronger ones. New orders sagged in September. They surged in October. Right now, retail sales are soggy. The Mixed signals are characteristic of an economy that's going about the right speed, and we have to live with them. The Treasury BOB CEA Troika has been doing intensive analysis. It shows the economy next year does not need a big dose of additional restraint. Policy will have to be made carefully to avoid the dangers on both sides, a new inflationary surge or an excessive slowdown. Our present diagnosis is based on best estimates of defense spending. They suggest the rise in defense outlays during course 6-7 will be significantly smaller than was this year. As you know, the estimates 6-6 defense spending we had a year ago were too low. Any new surprises would change our bets. The suspension of the investment credit, the accelerated depreciation, has helped very much to cool down the economic outlook. Firms in the McGraw-Hill survey are now reporting, as a result of these measures, that their investments 6-7 are at least $1.5 billion lower than they thought would otherwise be. At present, the investment outlook appears healthy. 2 months ago, we were facing the threat of a runaway investment boom. The most important single element in the outlook today is the effect of tight money. Tight credit has cut housing starts for 400,000 units. This is $6 billion of GNP. The mortgage famine is responsible for recent declines in other types of building. Commercial, state, and local government, nonprofit institution, this adds up to another $2 billion. Most recently, the Fed's actions seem to be making a major dent in bank lending for small businesses, consumer credit, and inventory financing. It's too soon to tell just how significant this will turn out to be. All in all, tight money may be responsible for cutbacks in construction and other investment spending, which will reach nearly $10 billion. Indirectly, this holds down consumer spending, since a higher rate of construction would mean more jobs, higher income, and more consumer demand. But by cutting gross national product, tight money has curbed inflation. If we'd had much lower interest rates and ease of credit in recent months, we would have had higher prices today. Wholesale industrial prices would not have stabilized. Labor markets have been tighter. Wage demand's more inflationary. So in restraining demand, tight money has acted as a substitute for a big tax increase. Its overall effect is as large as could be expected from a tax hike of $10 billion. That's something, isn't it? Tight money's overall effect is as much as could be expected from a tax hike of $10 billion. Thus, piling a large tax hike on top of today's restrictive credit policy and the suspension of investment tax could slow the economy down. Indeed, if we were willing to live with continued tight money, and if we could feel confident defense spending would rise less rapidly than it has this year, we might not need a tax increase. As of now, we still consider a tax increase very desirable. There are serious disadvantages in the policy mix where tight money is restricting the economy, while fiscal policy is stimulating. Tight money and higher interest rates have a very uneven and inequitable impact, as this year's collapse in home building has shown. Tax increases to restrain the economy add to budget revenues, but tight money doesn't. Without a tax increase, fiscal policy will look irresponsible next year. It will appear the administration let the Fed carry the burden of restraining inflation. Even if we could sweat this out during the Vietnam emergency, we would be in a very poor position to supply the fiscal stimulus we will need when peace is restored. We would have to rely on a sudden easing of money to do the job, and monetary policy would not be a very dependable stimulus in that situation. In any case, it acts too slowly. Thus, the point of bringing higher taxes in the ballgame is to bench tight money. The cooperation of the Fed is essential to ensure the monetary easing takes place smoothly and promptly. If housing is to ever recover, the shift in monetary policy will have to come. An understanding on this shift, the policy mix, should be nailed down before you finalize your decision. In the meantime, important information about consumer and investment demand will be coming in during the next few weeks. With this and another hard look at defense prospects, we should have a good solid foundation for our decisions on policy for 1967. So I just thought I'd let you know what they're saying. And
when do you think you'll have all your information you need to make a decision?
I don't know, but I would hope when I get out of the hospital after Thanksgiving there, the part of December. I'm going in, I would imagine, the middle of next week, and I would guess that I will be there a week, get out by Thanksgiving. I'll come on home, spend 3 or 4 days for a while. I can't talk and sitting around, but I imagine I'll get back in the harness pretty well by the first December.